I thought about talking a little bit about a father, and it have to do with mothers too and everyone else, because we suppose we have a father in heaven who we want to be like him. I believe that one of the mistakes that parents do or the father does with the children is that they don't keep their promises. They tell the children, I'm going to take you to the park on Sunday, and then Sunday comes and they don't take them to the park. Unfortunately, we have that situation where parents give a promise and do not do it. I always wanted to make sure when my children were small that everything I tell them, I promise them, I will do them. You know, if I told them I was going to take them to the park to ride bicycle or fly a kite or play a ball, baseball or basketball or do some exercise or go to the park for the gym, I wanted to make sure that they knew I was going to do what I promised them. What happened is many times we find that parents do not do the promises. You know, especially when they tell the children, if you eat all your food, you're going to have a dessert afterwards. What happens is a lot of time they don't eat the food and we give them the dessert. And that's the problem. A lot of time we promise we're going to take them to the park if they do their homework or if they make good grades in school. And then they don't make the good grades and we still take them to the park. That's not right either. Especially when there's a something that you mentioned to your children, if you do this, I'm going to do this for you. And it's very important that we are aware that we have a father, that when he promises something, he will perform it and he will do it. And so today, this week, we saw another one of those men who promised their wife to be faithful to them. And you saw it in the news how for a year he's been having an affair. And so he's been a liar for, he says a year. I don't believe the man anymore. Who knows how many years he's been or how many other people have been involved. This particular one was going to put was blackmailing him, so he had to come out and say it. So he had to tell people that for a year he's been lying. You know, because when you break a promise, you're a liar. Now, you promise to do something for God, you don't do it, you're a liar. You promise that you're going to do something and you don't perform that, people cannot count on your word. And it's very important that we as fathers and mothers, when we are teaching our children, that we are performing things and we are promising something that we're going to go through and we're going to do them. There was a song in 1979 that it came out. It was called Cats in the Cradle. Don't worry about it. Don't get panic. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it to you. Because it has something very, I feel, very things that we should be aware of, that little children copy their parents or learn from their parents. And when they grow up, they'll do the same thing. And it says, my child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle, and the silver spoon, the little boy blue, and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He says, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come and let us play. Can you teach me to throw the ball? To throw. I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And when he walked away, but he smiled never dim and said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I know I'm going to be like him. Is that a shame that a father cannot have time with their children to teach them how to play ball, to make time for their children, or the mother, you know, the father, the mother, you know, I think they're both important, but since it's Father's Day tomorrow, I wanted to bring this because we fathers, we have a big responsibility, including our grandchildren are growing up. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. The son continued and says, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just have to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon, when you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. For a long time, since retire, my son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He says, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have a flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. As I hang up the phone, it occurred to me he grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon, when you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. You know, it's a son that it has a lot of meaning because that happens in true life. That little children grow up like their parents, like their father. Their sons and daughters, they grow up like their mother and their father. And it's a shame that dads, parents, fathers do not give time to their children. And their children become like their father. You know, that's why you see so many divorces today, because most of the children today, that's what they see in their family. They see fathers who abandoned their homes. They see mothers that abandon their homes. And it all have to do with Satan the devil. It has to do with the plan that he has to destroy the family. Because when you destroy the foundation that God has created for society, you have done a great job to completely destroy everything that's going on. Every time you see a program on television, it has to do to put down fathers, or usually it's a mother living by themselves with the kids, or the father by themselves. You don't see programs today. A father and mother working together with difficulties, like you used to watch in the 50s, things that they were learning as a family together. You don't see that today. Because the whole thing that the enemy wants is to destroy family. Well, we have a father in heaven who expects us to do things. He promised he'll do things for us, and he expects things from us in return to him. It's a two-way street. In other words, it takes two to tango. And you have to have two persons willing to do their part to get ahead. A promise is something is defined as the words said or written. You know, it used to be that years ago you give a hint to somebody, you said, I will do this. You know, many years ago when we started in the Church of God here in Miami, we all agreed that Sabbath service was going to be at 2:30 p.m. Everybody agreed that we were going to be here at 2:30 p.m. Well, some people cannot just, you know, keep up their word, so that sometimes they're not here on time. In other words, they break promise. Continually you see breaking different promises. And God is expecting us, when we give a promise, when we make a commandment, when we made a contract with Jesus Christ to get be baptized, we said, we're going to obey you. If you obey, you know, you're going to give me eternal life. And it's a two-way part. And it's a contract that we have. And we have to be willing to keep our promises. How can you be in the kingdom of God when you cannot even keep a promise of a wife that you know physically, or a husband that you know physically, and you cannot keep the promise in your own marriages? How can you enter into the kingdom of God and tell God that you're going to promise to do what He says, when we cannot even have promises to the people we know each other? You know, when we see each other, when we treat each other incorrectly, we're not showing love, the love that God expects from all of us. You know, you probably have heard of the people say, if you let me borrow $5, I'll pay you back tomorrow. Sometimes the people disappear and you won't see them for months. Yeah, I had a friend of mine who came to talk to me. He had a big problem at the time. I was not married, and he was not married. We were single. We were good friends. He had a big problem. He says, I need some money, Tony, so I gave him some money. Well, he disappeared. I didn't see him for many, many years. You know, so I lost a friend. What I learned about that is that sometimes when you give money to friends, sometimes you lose your friend, because they don't, at the time they need your help, but they're not willing to do their part in the promise of paying you back what you have given them. And God expects us to not to be that way. So our example should be our Father who is in heaven, that we should follow and we should do. You probably heard of the people who are going to go to a trip to California, and are going to be moving to California. I write you every week. You probably, most of the time, you probably hear for the guy anymore. Maybe once a year, if you do. Mom and Dad, I will do better on my next report card. And some of the parents probably have heard that before. See, what happened is that a lot of the parents don't go through that. When my children told my wife, because usually my wife handled that part, that they were going to do better on the next report card, if they didn't do better, they're in trouble. They were in trouble, you know. And so they didn't keep their promises. And we have to, as Christians, we have to be people that we are keeping our promises, especially when we are following God. We have to learn that God is a God of promises. We have been giving a lot of promises. Now notice in Titus chapter 1, the book of Titus, chapter 1. You got to be sure that God is a Father who will never break His promise. Or our Savior Jesus Christ who will never break His promises that He has given us. Titus chapter 1. Notice verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. See, our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ cannot lie. People who do not break promises are people who will not lie to you. If they tell you they're going to be at 1 o'clock in your home, you be sure they're going to be there before 1 o'clock. You know, you can count in their word. The word that they tell you, you can count on it. They're not liars. They understand that what they're saying is very important. And so, God, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now, God always keeps his promise. Why? Because he's not a liar. People who are not liars are people who keep their promises. And God is not a liar. So it's very clear what God says here. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Our example should be our Father in Jesus Christ from the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6. Notice verse 18. Hebrews 6, verse 18. It says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for rescue to lay hold on the hope set before us. See, we have a hope. God always keeps his promise because he's not a liar. One of the things is that we have to be aware that every time we say something from our mouth, it has to be something that, you know, when you promise somebody you're going to do something, do it. If you are just going to say something by just to act political, okay, you know, so you could be okay with the people, you could be a politician, it's better not to speak. Because when you say something, that means a lot to people. You know, when somebody tells me, and you know, and of course, you think that other people are like you, and they're not. You know, they tell you they're going to be in your home to fix your television at 1 o'clock, forget it. Sometimes it's 3 o'clock and they haven't show up. You know, you cannot depend on people today. Today people sign different type of pages or paper or contracts because they cannot trust in each other's word, and then they just break it anyway. So people who do not keep the promises are people who usually are liars. God is not a liar. Whatever God promised, he will do it. I notice in Joshua chapter 23, book of Joshua, in the Old Testament, chapter 23. Chapter 23, notice verse 14. Verse 14. We read in verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, all have come to pass. For you, not one word of them has failed. See, a promise is so important. And when little children are given promises by their father, and they don't do it them, they're going to become like their dad in the future. They're going to become, in other words, the word is not going to mean anything. They're going to say something and then they're going to accomplish. They're not going to do their promise. They're not going to do their part. It's very important we are aware of that God always keeps his promise because he's not a liar. And whatever he says, he will do. And he will do for us. Now, of course, there are circumstances, you know, of situation that you didn't have no control over it. That's a different story. But when you do have a control over, and just because you are lazy or because you don't want to give time to your children, that's a different topic, a different thing. And we as parents and we as Christians, we should have time with our Father. And our Father is willing to have time with us all the time. Now in Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts, in the New Testament chapter 16, sometime when you make a promise, there are conditions with a promise. If you finish all your food, like I mentioned to a little while ago, all your food on your plate, then I will give you some dessert. So there's some conditions. And God has some conditions in his word too. In Acts chapter 16, notice verse 31. It says, so they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Now, what we must do as sinners is to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you as a sinner does this, then God promised, he says here, he says that he promised here that you will have eternal life. I think everyone wants to have eternal life. So for you to have eternal life, there's a condition here. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Now notice Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10. So there's a condition sometimes when the promises are there. We must do something. And then God promised to do something else. Now notice Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10. Notice verse 9. Romans 10 verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth, and you know when you come to be baptized, you confess with your mouth and with your actions that you believe in Jesus Christ. When you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, which God? God the Father. That God the Father has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. In other words, for you to be saved, here's the promise. Here's what we must do. We have to believe that God the Father raised Jesus Christ. And then he says that if you believe that, then God promised us to have eternal life. Here in verse 9, it's very clear. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, you will have eternal life. You will live forever. You have to believe that. You have to, you know, remember, the apostles, the disciples, did not believe Jesus Christ was resurrected, if you remember. They didn't believe that. Okay? They didn't believe in the promise. Even though Christ says that he was going to be resurrected, they did not believe Jesus Christ. in his promise until they saw him. And so Christ says here, and the Word of God says, if you believe that the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved. So it is a promise. First, a sinner has to do something. You have to believe something. And then the Father promised you, by you believing this, you're going to be saved. In James chapter 4, the book of James chapter 4. Book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we as Christians, we have to submit to our Father, our God, our Savior Jesus Christ. And then if you resist the devil, and you know what he's trying to do, he will flee from you. That's a promise. A promise in the Word of God that if you do this, Satan will flee from you. You will be protected by God. Because you're submitting to God and he will protect you. He will put a wall on you. He will protect you against Satan, who is our enemy and wants to destroy us and wants to destroy families. And the best way to go is to the weaker vessel. Attack the weaker one. That's why usually you see the weaker ones are the first one who fall down. Now, it came to my mind something because Ernest asked me something at the beginning of the service. One of the questions that they asked him was, how come Jesus Christ did not mention the fourth commandment, the Sabbath? Let's go to Matthew 19. I want to show you that. Matthew 19. Starting in verse 16, Matthew 19, verse 16 says, Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good things should I do that I may have eternal life? So he's asking him, we're just learning how we could have eternal life. So the question is asking him, what do we have to do to have eternal life? Well, Christ could have said, well, just believe on me. Just believe on me and, you know, I've done everything for you. I'm going to do everything for you. There's nothing you need to do. That's not what Christ answered. He says in verse 17, So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God, the Father. But if you want to come into life, to have eternal life, keep the commandments, plural. And then he goes into some of the commandments. He says, which one? He asks the question, which one? And he says, you know, and he gave some of the commandments of the... Well, the person who was asking Ernest says, how come the Sabbath is not there? Well, the reason the Sabbath is not there is because they didn't have no problem with the Sabbath. Like we have in today's world. Everybody kept the Sabbath. That was not the problem. The problem with the Pharisees is that they didn't honor their father or their mother. And they didn't do the things that says here. They didn't love the people. He says, which one, Jesus says, you should not murder. They used to murder people. They used to, you know, they murdered Jesus Christ. You should not commit adultery. Did they commit adultery? Yeah. Look at the world today. They're doing the same thing, committing adultery all the time. You should not steal. Were they stealing? Yes. John the Baptist says that the people in the army were stealing from people, and people who were collecting taxes were stealing from the people. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. In other words, they were not doing all these things. It says, You should love your neighbor as yourself, you know. And so the young man says to him, all these things I have done. They used to keep the Sabbath. They had no problem with the Sabbath when this question was asked. You know, the Sabbath was not a question, you know. But he mentioned the commandments. And when Christ says the commandments, they include all the commandments of God. So God says, the promise is this. If you keep all the commandments, I will give you eternal life. You will have eternal life. That's the promise. So we have to keep the commandments of God. If not, we are hypocrites. If not, how can we go into the kingdom of God? Being a sinner. After we have repented. So anyway, that wasn't in my notes, but I wanted to mention that since he asked me this question. See, the Sabbath was not the problem. Everybody kept the Sabbath in Jerusalem. You know, the Sabbath is a problem now. You know, it's the problem now. You go to Jerusalem and see if people have problem with the Sabbath. They don't, you know. They know when the Sabbath is coming. But, and of course, the people of God don't have any problem with the Sabbath. They know that they have to keep the Sabbath. And we have to keep the commandments of God. It's very clear what Christ says. If you want to have eternal life, we have to keep the commandments of God. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're breaking God's commandment. You don't love God enough, the Father, so that He cannot give you the promise of eternal life. Simple as that. So there's a condition. You're going to be saved, but you have to do something in your part. Now, it's very important that we always, you know, like I say, the promises are so important. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13, this is very important because sometimes, you know, like people who, you know, says, oh, well, I'm going to get fired, I'm going to lose my job, if I go to the festival, Feast of Tabernacles, I'm going to lose my job, they're going to fire me. Or if I keep this, you know, if I go to church on Sabbath, I'm going to lose my job. Well, who gave you that job? Whenever he wants to get it out away from you, whenever he wants to take it away from you, he will take it away. He will close the company. You know, Pan American was in business for years and years. They're no longer in business. Eastern was in business for years and years. They're no longer in business. And today we have a lot more companies going out of business every day. See, that's not what's going to give you eternal life. A job is not going to give you eternal life. But here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, this is what God promised. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. In other words, a lot of people are not content with what they have. They want more. So what do? They steal. They break God's commandments. And they think by going shortcut, they're going to, or they steal from God. They don't pay the tithes, you know. They don't think it's important, you know. So, the Bible is very clear. It says that when you don't pay your tithe, you're stealing from God. But here it says, be content with such things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that. I believe in the word of God. God promised us that he will never forsake us. And since I know God is not a liar, and I could count on his promises, I know he will never forsake me. And when there's something I have to go through, it's because I needed it. That's the reason for it. As long as you know that God is involved in your life because you want to obey him and you want to do the right thing, you know. In Matthew 17, verse 23, it says, and they will kill you, and then the third day, and it says, and they will kill him, And on the third day he will be raised up and be exceedingly, and they were very sorrowful. In other words, when they heard this, they were very sorrowful that this was going to happen. Well, he told them what was going to happen. And then he told them that God was going to raise him up, the Father was going to raise him up, and they did not believe that. You know, if you go to Matthew 27, you're going to see in verse 62 to 66. Let's go there. Matthew 27, verse 62. They put a guard here. The story here is that they put the guard, and starting verse 62 says, on the next day, which allowed the day of preparation, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver, and after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciple come by night and steal him away." In other words, that story that the disciples told, his body cannot work because they have guards protecting the tomb. But the disciple did not believe that Christ was resurrected. Even when the ladies told him, "I saw Jesus Christ." And Thomas says, "If I don't touch him, I will not believe that." You know, they appeared before them, and Thomas was not there, and so he had to see them. But God promised that he was going to be raised up, and that happened. There's many promises in the Old Testament that will happen. Now, how about the promise of the son to Abraham? He told him that he was going to have a son. You know, years and years passed and years passed, and you know the story. I've given you a sermon about this before, and how he gave a son to Abraham finally, and he said he was going to have a lot of seeds, he was going to have a lot of, you know, family was going to come from him, and then God says, "Go and kill him. You know, he believed God, he knew that what God says, it was going to happen, the promise of God. And so he knew even if he killed his son, he was going to resurrect his son. And the promise that he promised him to Abraham will happen. Well, you know the whole story. That did not happen. And, of course, you know what happened later on. And then Isaac had many, the promise was passed to Isaac. And he had many sons to keep the promises. That Isaac was going to have children and so forth. The promise was Isaac will have children. And then, you know, Isaac was going to be killed. Could you imagine that? After having, waiting for so long, so old, even his wife laughed at God. And God says, "Yeah, you laugh." Because that's what the word Isaac means, laughter. Because they didn't believe God. Well, when God says something, you could depend on it. His promise are... to give you a promise, you could count on it. So, we as parents, since we are copying our Father in Jesus Christ, we have to keep our promises to the people we make, especially our children who are learning from us. You know, if you tell your child, you tell your son or your daughter, you're going to do this, you better do it. You better make sure that they know that every time you say something, you're not a liar. You know, when they were little, I didn't want them to think I was a liar. You know, parents tell their children, "Oh, Santa Claus is coming tonight." You know, they're lying to their children. They don't realize they're breaking God's commandment of lying. They're making a lie to their children. And then when the children grow up, it says, you know, "How can I believe my father? He's been lying for years." About a fat guy with a red suit that was going to bring toys. And then they find out it's a lie. So I wanted to make sure that my children knew I was never a liar to them. I always told them the truth. Yeah, a lot of people, when I first came into the church, said, oh, your children are going to go be served. They're going to have to need psychiatrists and all this stuff. They're going to be hurt. You know, all the kids getting toys and they're not going to get toys. And all this baloney. What happened is, when you know the way of God, you know the right way. And there's only one way to go. And so my children didn't have one day. They had 8 days when we went to the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we took the Feast of Tabernacles for them to have a great time and for them to have the toys and things that we were able to do to give them. And that was not only that great, it was something that we were together for 8 days together as a family. But you better believe that when you are telling your children something, they come to learn and says, my father lied to me for years. My mother lied to me for years. She told me Santa Claus was coming, and Santa Claus is a story. It's a lie. So some people have problem in believing in Jesus Christ and the truth of God. In Psalm chapter 103, the book of Psalm 103, Psalm 103, I want you to notice, let's read verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You know, we as parents, we do that. We pity our children. And our Father is the same way. He treats us as children. And so He wants us to learn from Him. You know, to become a father like He is. What is our Father is like? He's very generous. He's very giving. Can you imagine the Father giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to be killed? Not only killed, but to spit on Him. To be hit. To be done the things that He did to His Son. Can you imagine your own son or your own child, your own daughter, going through all those situations that Jesus Christ went through? Can you imagine the love that the Father has for us, for His children? And so He wants you to be like Him. But to be like Him in the right way. To be like Him, like to be like when He gives us a promise. He wants you to, when you give a promise, you do the same thing. That you keep your promise. In the world today we live, people are liars. People don't keep their promises. To their wife, to their husband, to their children, to Jesus Christ, you know, and to our Father who is in heaven. And the more we get Satan, the devil, more in control of this world, the worse it will be. In Proverbs chapter 1, the book of Proverbs chapter 1, it says in verse 8, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. See, what happened is children today, you know the difficulties that people have with children today is that the children are not teach to listen to instruction of their father and their mother. For, it says verse 9, for they will be a graceful ornament in your head and chains about your neck. Verse 10, my son. See how God treats His children? He treats us as sons and daughters. My son, if sinner entice you, do not consent. You know, I watched a program yesterday about these people who got killed by this guy who created this thing in his mind. He already have killed somebody else for money. And he created this thing and he got some people involved. I think it was 22, it wasn't 2020. I think it was prime time or something. I forgot now the program, but I was watching the program how they went into the boat and he brought his own son with his wife so the guy could feel comfortable. And all this time what he was planning is to force them to sign the boat. He wanted to get the boat from the guy, sign up the boat for him and his wife, make them sign and then sign all, you know, the banking or whatever so they could go in and get all their money from the bank. And so these people went to try the boat, and so they kill them. Before they kill them, they force them to sign their name that they sold the boat to them. And so it took a little while to find out what was the story. One of the people confessed, and that's how they got them. But what happened is one of the people were enticed to do this. You know, sometimes we don't understand because we are trying to obey God. We cannot understand how can a person sit down and make those type of plans to kill somebody for money. But that's the type of world we live. And you see how people kill their wife or their husband for insurance money and things like that. So we live in a very sick world. But here we find that it says, my son, verse 10, if sinner entice you, do not consent. Oh, let's smoke this marijuana, or let's do this, or let's do the other things. See, I was blessed. I guess it was God protecting me since I was a little boy. I grew up in the way my parents taught me, and I guess, you know, I have to have protection of God because I didn't have no problem telling people, no, I don't, you know, and that when I was a teenager, the thing was beer, you know. When you go out, you drunk, you know, before you went to the dance. See, what happened, most of the people had to drink because they didn't know how to dance, so they were afraid to go a dance, so they had to be drunk to go a dance. You know, I didn't have any problem telling my friend, no, I don't drink beer. So they would tell, make sure you bring milk for Tony just to make me ashamed about it. I didn't have no problem with that. You know, I didn't have no problem to be by myself if I had to be by myself. So the problem is when you have little kids and you have to be aware as a father or a mother that like to have the group, that wants to be part of a group, that's where you have to be careful. Because they will do things what the group is doing just to join the group and just to be part of the group. And what that's going to bring is God says, do not entice, do not go along with them. Verse 11 says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait and shed blood. And you see that today, you see how they're stealing money from elderly people, and if they need to kill you, they'll kill you, you know, for $20. Notice verse 15. It says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. It's instruction of our children, to tell our children that it's important that they follow God. And notice how God treats us like son. In Proverbs chapter 2, notice verse 1, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What happened is people do not fear God today. Children do not fear God. You know, they don't fear, you know, adults. They don't respect adults because they have not been taught as little children to fear, to respect elders, and to fear God. And so that's why we find ourselves in the world we find ourselves in. Now notice Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. He says, my son, notice that God treats us as sons and daughters. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Yeah, most of people want to have peace, but they don't know how to have it. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For when the Lord loves, he corrects. See, when you have a father who loves their children, when you have a mother who loves their children, they will correct them when they need to be corrected. He says, just as the father, the son, in whom he delight. Verse 13, happy is the man who find wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Verse 14, for her proceeds are better than the profit of silver, and her gain than fine gold. It's very important that we are aware that we have a Father in heaven who want us to be, he want us to be like him. I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my father. And so, little children that we are, when we are called into the church of God, we are called little children because God expects us to become like him. He wants you to be a father like him. And so when you give a promise to your children and to anyone you do, we have to do them and we have to say it, because if we don't, we're going to fail. Because then we are liars. Liars break promises. So as parents, as father and mother, we have to be careful in the way we promise to our children and to each other. We have promised to our Savior Jesus Christ that we're going to do it to the end. And hopefully we all will, so we all could be saved and enter into the kingdom of God.